Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Baby Ray thing, y'all. It's the Baby Ray Thing, y'all, and I am your host, Miss Baby Ray. Everybody say, Ray, where the heck you been? Sick. Happy New Year. I'm 27 days in. I'm a little late, but Merry New Year. How you guys doing? I am your host, Ravy Rave. I am the president and CEO, the only one, of Big Daddy Productions. And that's Daddy with an I, not a Y. You can also listen to the show live anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on BigDaddyProductions.com. You also can download the show on your iTunes and listen to me anytime you want on your iPhone. Did you know that? Yeah. I'm got to get my radio legs back together. Shout out to my boy D.L. Hughley. I'm not getting into that Terry Crews and D.L. because D.L.'s a grown man. He can handle his own thing. And before you call me a hypocrite, I support DL because when no one else would support me, DL supported me. Now, do I always agree with him? Do you always agree with your friends? Do you sit there and side-eye your friends sometimes and be like, really? And if you've ever done radio, of course you have said things that made you sit there and go, oh, you know what? I messed up. I really messed up. Maybe I need to backtrack on that a little bit. You know? I have done that. I've had it done to me. That you sit there and go, excuse me, who you, Harpo? Who you is, Harpo? Because we've all done it. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay. That's how I feel about it. And I support him. Will I say something to him? Most likely, yes. If anybody knows anything about me, I'm not going to be quiet about it. But certain things, I mean, I'm more upset about this R. Kelly thing than I am about DL right now. I know about sexual abuse. I know that I have been sexually abused. I know I've been sexually harassed, and I know that God has carried me through it all. Won't get one book deal about it. I'm a black woman, so I already know nobody don't care about it. I know that I have gone through it, and I've gotten through it. I'm more upset because I know there are more people, more black women, like myself, that have been sexually harassed, that have been sexually abused, that nobody on this planet gives a damn about. And I know that I had good parents, I had wonderful parents. My father never sexually abused me. But if I did share with him a third of what I've gone through out here in this mean world, my father would have probably died in jail. Because Big Daddy did not play when it came to the Ravy Rave. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into being a survivor. And I will share some of that today. My grandfather, none of my biological uncles. You know, I had a relative's boyfriend touch me and I punched him out. And I had the sibling of that relative call me a liar. Because the guy went and told her, said, no, that's a lie, she's lying, I didn't touch her. But the one thing he didn't realize that when you're an older child and you're visiting, you automatically become a babysitter. And when you're that babysitter, the children that you're watching get to, I guess, testify on your behalf and say, no, he did this, which he had no business in the room in the first place. You know, it didn't dawn on her dumb, ignorant self that he had no business up in there anyway. That's not where the adults were. I was 15. And then I was sat there and told that I shouldn't tell. But my mother and Big Daddy always told my sister and myself, you tell. And for those of you who have been listening to this show for the last 11 years, know without a doubt, I will tell. Now, will somebody listen? Probably not. But I will still tell. That's just how it is. I want to give a shout out to Donna and Brentwood and Vance and Donovan and Kiki and Aaron. I want to give a shout out to Terry Terra out there in Tucson, Arizona. Also to Brandon, Phoenix, and Xavier and Mark. Shout out. I want to give a shout out to my girls. I want to give a special shout out to one of my long-term friends, Mr. Ralph Harris. Happy birthday to you. I am such a horrible friend. His birthday was, I think, Friday. And I'm just saying, happy birthday to you. Well, it's going to be okay. So it's like a shout out to you guys. My MS, my multiple sclerosis, has been really doing a thing on me. I have an announcement, and I know for those that have been, you know, rolling with me on this and everything, I know y'all have been praying for me, and I thank you for praying for me and praying with me. It has been a journey. But I wore real shoes. You know, I wore real shoes to church this morning, and I'm thankful for that. And, yes, I am paying for it right now, but you know what? It's a good thing. Everybody sat there, and they're like, what in the world? But I opened up the show with the king of R&B, Mr. Bobby Brown. Bobby! I love you! Bobby! But I'm still mad because I still haven't gotten my rib seasoning yet, but we're going to work on that, Bobby. Shout out. Actually, shout out to all of the original members of New Edition, and shout out to BBD, shout out to Johnny Gill, shout out to Ralph, shout out, you know, and now the Bobby, Johnny, Ricky, Mike, and Ronnie, they're on tour right now. What's up? Shout out. Just felt in the mood for that song, Out on Our Own. Now, yes, it was the Ghostbusters theme, by the way, but that was my jam. And I slid in a little Faith No More epic up in there because I haven't heard it in a while, and I wanted to share it with you guys that this is nothing new. Before there was a Kid Rock and all Limp Bizkit, you know, there was Faith No More. And then I went into More Than a Woman by Aaliyah. That wasn't the song that I really wanted to play. I wanted to play We Need a Resolution. But I played the Aaliyah because I wanted to sit back and, you know, honor her, number one, for her birthday month. And then I also wanted to honor her You can't mention R. Kelly without mentioning that, and I'm not a a hypocrite. So I'm like, okay. So we'll have to honor her on that. I am so excited right now, and I know that probably by next week I'll have my legs again, but I wanted to let you guys know that I'm back. You know, I wanted to let you guys know that I'm okay. I knew if I missed another Sunday that I was going to hear a few things, you know. So I wanted to let you guys know that I'm okay and I'm getting back on track. And, of course, we have Game of Thrones coming back in April. And then we got The Handmaid's Tale, which I finally got my sister to watch. Still don't have the verdict on it, but I know she enjoyed season one. But I don't have the full verdict on the story as a whole. I think a lot of people can't really fully appreciate, especially women, can't fully appreciate The Handmaid's Tale with the climate that we're in right now. But even though season two, well, the whole thing is a fictionalized version of it. But especially season two, which is not in the book at all, you can kind of understand it a little bit better, you know. I just sit there and I just like, okay, whatever you say, whatever you say, I agree. So I sit back and I was like, okay, whatever. You know, it's okay. It's okay. But anywho, I am excited, and I am excited to be talking with you guys today, and I will be talking. And there's a lot that I would like to say about that R. Kelly thing. I'm so disappointed in women. I really am. I'm very disappointed in a lot of black women right now. I'm not even going to talk about the black man, because you know what? There are black males that are molested and they don't have a high profile. And then I saw people talking about Elvis, which I've always thought that there was something wrong with that story, because Priscilla was, what, 14 when he met her, and he married, I think, at 18. And you're going to try to convince me or rewrite history and tell me that she was still a virgin when he married her? I don't know. I don't think so. I wasn't there. Hell, I wasn't even born. But I don't think so. You know, and Jerry Lee Lewis, and then they start going down the whole thing, and I refuse to bring Michael Jackson into it. I really do. I don't believe that Michael Jackson was a child molester. I really don't. I think he lived an unusual life. I don't know about you, but my bedroom is only one room. I think it's 12 by 14. It's not two stories. You know, I don't have a California king bed, or I don't have a customized bed that fills up damn near the whole room, you know. And the thing is that with Michael Jackson, you would have thought, especially when he was alive, that there would have been so many people that would have come out the woodwork. Corey Feldman loves a good publicity story, and he tried every way he could without saying, because he couldn't say that he was molested by Michael. Y'all remember that, or am I the only one that was listening to that? And of course, now that he has a son, he would have a problem with it. He didn't have a problem with it before because he idolized him. I don't know. I just sit back and I'm like, okay. You know, Macaulay Culkin is emphatic and can't say that, oh, maybe he's ashamed. No, I don't think Macaulay is ashamed. The man is almost 30-something years old, and I think that he would have said something. And you don't just think about Macaulay, because he has like 1,010 brothers, and I believe that if he was molested, that it was okay. And the thing about molestation, rape, sexual assault, whether it's on adults, teenagers, tweens, children. I am so tired of looking in the news now and seeing that women are bringing men around that are raping their two-month-old babies, that people seem to have desensitized from it and that it's okay. I'm going to say something. I have a lot of friends that were in, and I'm going to, you know, full disclosure, that were in the movie The Color Purple. Shout out to Alice Walker, who wrote The Color Purple. But I think I'm one of the few people who are willing to say that the book bothered me. The Color Purple will always have a special place in my heart, the movie, because it was the first movie that my sister and I got to take my dad out, and we all got dressed, and he put on a suit and tie so that we could go to dinner and a movie, and we paid for it. I think I was like 14 or 15 years old. And it's one of those memories, not so much about the movie. I know that another memorable part of that date night with my dad and his daughters was that the movie made him tear up. He said something was in his eye, but we know he cried because the music, the movie, the storyline, it got you, you know? But it bothered me. And of all the things, and it's one of the most quotable movies in the black community, but the one thing that folks always fail to acknowledge was that Celie was truly abused. Abused, raped, not just by Mister, but by Shug as well. Because Shug Avery was not a good woman. And I knew that as a child. I definitely don't agree with it as an adult. But that's what we do. We make lemonade in our community. And sometimes we don't need to make lemonade. You don't lie in your attack. You have to pull yourself up and move forward and not allow the victimizer to have the win. But we need to start acknowledging it. We definitely need to start acknowledging it. And now I'm going to piss a whole bunch of people off. And it's okay because that's my show and I could do what I want to do. When it comes to the R. Kelly thing, I blame Dana Horton. I blame the young ladies that are quote-unquote enslaved or held and brainwashed on their parents. I blame the parents. Because I don't care who it is. Michael Jackson, Prince, George Michael. I know they all did, but they were super, superstars. You don't leave your children with a stranger. You don't know a celebrity. I don't care how much you think you know that celebrity. You don't know that celebrity. You know that they entertain and that they're good entertainers. And you have a child that has a dream. You have a child that has a dream. And as a parent, it is your responsibility to protect them. If you're not going to protect them, don't have them. Because children are more than, you know, Baby Gap and cute outfits. It's more than that. It is our responsibility when we bring children in this world, or if you're like myself who have no children. And I got to talk about that on another show because I've been binging Grey's Anatomy. I was on a strike against Grey's Anatomy on the strength of Isaiah Washington. I did not like how it went down. Isaiah Washington made a homophobic slur against T.R. Knight. And he went to sensitivity rehab and did the tour and everything. And folks kept bringing it up, wouldn't allow it to die, wouldn't encourage him, you know, for bringing forth the effort to try to make things do what it needs to do. But yet and still, they fired him after he did all of that. And I thought that that was wrong. So, Chandra, I had a problem with the show. I loved the show. I loved it. And I was faithful from day one. I was telling people, everybody I knew, that you had to watch this show because, you know, I like medical dramas. I loved, you know, ER, and it began with Denzel Washington and Alfre Woodard in St. Elsewhere. You young folks don't know nothing about St. Elsewhere. That was the show. I don't care what nobody say. That was the show. And in ER, yes. Especially when George Clooney had his little Caesar haircut. Yes. Yes. You know, I was into stuff like that. So I stopped watching Grey's Anatomy for a number of years. Years! And then I kind of accidentally was flipping through the channel and I saw the migration episode. If you haven't seen the migration episode, you need to watch the crime migration episode. Then I was like, what? And then I stopped again because, you know, you got to take a stance. And then I remember seeing the chief laying on the floor in the water, totally electrocuted. And so I watched that. And then they were dragging that on, so I stopped watching it. Stopped. I had to, you know, take my stand. Because that show is so good. But I had to take my stand. Because if I support it, then I'm agreeing to what happens. And that's how I felt about it. And I was like, oh my goodness. All right. I ain't gonna watch it no more. And you know what? Last month, I decided that I wanted to start binging it. I just started binging it. And when I binged it, I was like, okay, Lord, thank you. You know, I'm good with it now. I'm cool. And now, I think I'm up to season 10, I believe. I'm not sure. I know it's 9 or 10. I haven't checked, but I believe I'm up to season 10 now. And I've got Grey's Anatomy overload. And I also watched Bird Box yesterday, finally. Y'all know me. If you hype it, I ain't going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it because I don't want my opinions played by the hype. So I didn't like it. I'm sorry. It had a great promise. You know, the premise was very good. Sarah Paulson, you know, I'm interested. John Malkovich, I've got to watch it. Very predictable for me. excuse me. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't. So the white people that are out there trying to do the Bird Box Challenge, I just think of it as thinning the herd. You know, I don't understand. And that's another show as well. What is it about the devil and evil and spirits and entities that just fascinate folks? It's never a good thing in any of the stories you see. It's never a good thing. But folks love it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not my thing. So, Surviving R. Kelly started trending on Twitter, and I sat there and I was like, okay, what story is they rehashing now? What did he do now? Are they still talking about that from 20 going on 30 years ago? And on my fancy DC Roku TV, I watched it. After it was over, because I didn't have the patience to sit there and watch it each night or whatever, so I just wanted to sit back because I'm a binger now. My name is Raby Rabe, and I'm a binger. And I like to skip through all the nonsense of the commercials. Heads up. I want to say it, but I have sponsors, but I'm just saying. And I did. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I watched it. And I needed like 8 showers afterwards. I really did. And I was disgusted. But I was disgusted more at the parents. You know, Robert Kelly is a disgusting pervert who makes awesome music. He really does. And that 12-play album was my shiznit. I am not going to lie, because even though I'm a survivor, I'm also a woman, and I'm a Taurus. I'm ruled by Venus, not the penis. No, I'm not a lesbian. Never had a lesbian experience. It's just that it rhymed, okay? But I loved my boyfriend. And I loved being exclusively freaky-deaky with my boyfriend. So my mind was telling me no, but my body said yes every time. And I understood. I ain't saying nothing wrong. Come on, hit me in the right places so you can see sexy on my faces. You know, 12-play was my jam. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care what anyone says. That was my jam. But I can't. And I haven't since Aaliyah played that album. And I've got a whole slew of cassettes that I can't even listen to because I had it bad. You know, back in the day, you did your little mixtapes and you would be talking to your little boyfriend through song. You know, so I got a few tapes I can't even listen to right now because I know that I'm going to hear it and it's just going to take me back, you know. I already know that. But, I believe I was in my late 20s when he married Aaliyah. And when I was reading the Vibe magazine, because I remember this. And they had the picture of the license. And I'm like, but she's a kid. She's a kid. And that was nasty. Ew. I know you guys are, like, sitting there, oh, Rafe, you need to get on video. No, I don't need to get on video because you can't see my faces. But yes, I'm making an extremely bad face right now. And, yes, he continued to make music. And he continued to make good music. Because there wasn't a time that I was in the shadow that they didn't play at least 3 R. Kelly songs. And I usually took that as a bathroom break or a bar break. You know, I just couldn't. And I felt kind of funny. And I'm here to tell you, I needed to take a pill when Michael Jackson's came out. I was like, no, not Michael. Not Michael. Mm-mm. Not Michael. And he's sitting there right there in front of us with the chair. And no, not Mike. But then I started listening to the stories behind it. And the dad that wrote Robin Hood, Men in Tights, which I was going to watch because shout out to Dave Chappelle. You know, shout out to Richard Lewis. You know, I was going to go see it, and I didn't. And me going to see it, not going to see it, did not stop it from being a success. My sister has seen it, and she rubs it in my face all of the time, but on the strength of Michael Jackson. I can't, because that man lied. And I don't, you know, while everybody's sitting there talking about Michael Jackson, they're not going to talk about it in 2009 when the young man, who's now a young man, said it never happened. $20 million later. His dad wanted Mike to sponsor his next screenplay. And Mike said no. One of the things when the story got told, it didn't say that, yes, the young man was there. That part got spoken about, but it didn't say that the sister was there as well, or the mother. I read that part. I don't know. I'm that girl that likes to read and catch stuff. You know, like in Boomerang, when Eddie Murphy and David Alan Grier, you know, were fighting, the Empire State Building lights went out. And when they made up, it was back on again. And folks are like, wait, how did you notice that? I just noticed little things like that. So I just noticed that the little girl was there as well. And there wasn't an opportunity for him to do whatever. And see, as a person who was touched inappropriately, I am like a bulldog to a raw snake when it comes to protecting children. I had a little problem with Prince, and I love Prince, and everybody know me, know I love Prince. Me and my friend Cheryl Nelson was going to run away and go move in with him. We didn't have his address. We didn't have his phone number. We didn't know to give him a heads up that we were coming. Just simply the fact that my friend didn't have enough money for her ticket. That's the only thing that stopped us from being dumbasses. But I had a problem with him. Because as I got older, I noticed that the women that he loved, you know, they were light, bright, and damn near white, if not white. Me, I'm chocolate. There's no question whether or not I'm black. And I am mixed with a few things, but I look like a black woman. I'm a black woman. Totally big, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful big lips. And I'm like, okay. And those women were young, and I noticed that as they got older, he would switch them out for a newer model. You know, he didn't like old things. And I noticed that. And I loved Prince. And had one of those women said that he raped them or molested them, I would have really been upset, but I would have, on the strength of those women, stopped being a Prince fan. You can't look for perfection. But there's a limit. And sexual molestation is my limit. I wanted to believe somebody. And then when the little child sat there, now a young man, said that he was molested, the second one, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I just watched a two and a half hour documentary where you're saying that he never touched you inappropriately. And then come to find out this was the mother who was a grifter. That was her bag to put her, if you into girls, they're going to, you know, have JCPenney pay you off if you're into boys. And I heard Michael was into boys. Well, we're going to get Michael to pay us off now. But Michael didn't pay them off. And he went through the embarrassment, and he received the love from his people. And there are people right now that are cursing, listening to me right now, because they will live and die for R. Kelly, and R. Kelly wouldn't even, I would say, piss on him, but that's nasty, because I remember seeing that. And I saw that not on a videotape. I saw it on the internet. That was back in the day. And you can look and tell that those were kids. Because by then I was grown. You know, I was good and grown then. I was like, oh, that's nasty. You know? But but I blame the parents. Because you had two major things going on. And I guess because he wasn't convicted, they thought it was okay. Okay. A lot of people have been falsely convicted by some things. Where are you as a parent to be the bulldog, to be there right there at every second your child is in that person's presence? Where were you? I have five godchildren, four girls and one boy. And let me tell you something. They will tell you, I am the bulldog. And now that they're all grown now, all of them, my baby, she's 20, going to be 22 in August. You got no more babies. They will all tell you. It is a difficult process of letting go. And two have children of their own now. I'm still processing that. Because one of them, baby, graduated from high school. I'm processing that. How do you sit there? I can tell you, I was on the bus, and I can remember this bus driver. I'm not going to call her name. I had such admiration for her because we would clown around. That was almost as good as my morning cup of coffee. And she said, shoot, I take my son and let him get molested a little bit for a check. And she was dead serious. She wasn't, that's a bad joke within itself. That's a bad joke. But she was serious as a heart attack. I no longer sat in the front of the bus. I went to the back. That ended our conversations. She asked me. I told her. She doubled down. End of friendship. End of association. End of conversation. Because any mother that would deliberately put their child in that type of situation, and shout out to my girl, Lisa, I almost said her government, who was on an episode of Law and Order, and it had the little Michael Jackson angle where they had a guy who was a child molester, but he was famous and popular. And how she sacrificed her older kid for her sick kid because her sick kid needed some kind of medical procedure and they didn't have the money. So they deliberately put the child in harm's way just so that they could get the money. I'm still having an issue with it, and I know it was just a role, but Lee, you know, I got a problem with that. And I was very proud of her because she and the gentleman that played her husband, who was from Oz, they played the hell out of that. There should have been some nominations going on. Just saying. Not just because she's my friend, but just saying. And I was like, wow. And then when you stop to think about the music industry, and you start thinking about the women that throw themselves at the band, and some of those women you knew weren't even legal. You know, one of my favorite songs in the world, the line begins, she's just 16 years old, leave her alone, they say. You think I'm joking? Here you go.
Thank you.
is one of my favorite songs. But I can't listen to it with a good conscience. I am Ravy Rave. You are listening to the It's the Ravy Rave Show. I am, once again, the president and CEO of BigDaddyProductions.com. I just tweeted to DL. Shout out to my boy DL again. You know, we make, if I were held accountable for what comes out of my mouth, child, please. And how many times I've had my whole ankles in my mouth for a comment. But I stand by this. I blame the parents. And it hurt my heart to see the parents fighting for their children. But the fight was before you allow the thing to grab your child. Every step of the way, I don't care. You can't tell me, well, I can't. No, I'm going to be right there. Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I know this is your policy, but no, I need to be where my child is. Is this what they need to do to get a record deal? Well, guess what? No, we're not having a record deal right now. You're going to go to college and become a doctor. Yeah. When you turn 18, you do whatever the hell you want to. But until you turn 18, no. Nope. Because I also was a teenager. And I've also have shared the stories of going across the bridge, Tommy Club, Limelight, Kit Kat Club, Pyramid, Save the Robots, which was the after-hours spot. Mm-hmm. Lemoore's in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Where you going, Ray? Oh, I'm going to Cheryl's house. We going to hang out. Okay. Because I'm a bad liar. I couldn't say I'm going to Cheryl's house and then we going across the bridge. Mm-mm. Because I knew what that answer was going to be. Mm-mm. Hell to the no. Okay? I'm going to Cheryl's house. But my mom used to call that, which now I understand, it is the lie of the sin of omission. Because she's thinking that my dumb self was just going to be at Cheryl's house. Anything could have happened in New York. She would have never thought about her child being across the bridge. Mm-mm. You know, and then when you're 15 years old and you've got hips and boobs, I'm sure a lot of the people in those clubs knew that I was 15 because I was dumb enough to tell people. If you ask me, how old are you, 15? I remember breaking my 21st birthday in Bentley's. And the manager, shout out Mark, wherever you are, he's like, oh, so how old are you now? I said, I'm 21. And he goes, excuse me, no, how old are you really? 21. No, for real, how old? I'm 21 now. I've been going to that club for years and drinking Dom Perignon. For some reason, my favorite year was 1976. Was I paying for those? They call it popping bottles now, but back in the day, that was when VIP was really VIP. You know, sitting up with Greg Steele, the drummer from Warrant, Steven Sweet, the drummer from Warrant, sitting on Greg Steele's lap. Shout out to Greg. And sitting there talking about serial killers. Yeah. Legs crossed, tight jeans on, sparkly bra, boobs popping, stomach flat as an ironing board. Cute as hell. Mm-hmm. You know, I know how to, I knew that, and you couldn't tell me I couldn't go anywhere. I was not the type of girl that would stand on no line to be chosen. And I got somewhere, was it the tunnel? And I was going to Kyoko's party, and the person in the front was like, "You can't come in." I said, "Well, that's okay. I won't come in, and I'll tell Kyoko that I was told that I couldn't come in." And I turned around, and he was like, "Oh, wait a minute. I think I was 17 then. Oh, I thought so. I am definitely not, the type to say it on nobody's line to be chosen to get in, because and I'm still that way. My ego won't allow it. And when I'm invited somewhere VIP, I expect the full VIP treatment. That's just me. You know, and I don't care who you are. I don't care where I go. Somebody gonna know me. Somebody gonna say, "Why are you sitting there?" Now I have to go through the motions of moving my stuff. And it's funny, folks don't think about you, don't care anything about you, sit there and try to second guess you and all kinds of stuff. And then when somebody that's quote unquote somebody acknowledges you, now everybody wants to know who you are. Now everybody wants to get close to you. I'm 50 years old. If I didn't put up with it in my 20s, you know I ain't putting up with it in my 50s. You know it. It's not even a thought. It's not even a question. Okay. You tell me I can't go nowhere, no worries. I'll keep it moving. But when you know how to keep it moving, you eliminate a lot of drama in your life. When you know who you are, no one can ever define you. The only person that can define me is God. That's the only opinion. My pastor, my friends, associates, enemies, they cannot define me. God is the only one that can define me, because his opinion of me is the only one that counts. Straight talk. And it's not arrogance. I'm a very confident person. I was more insecure when I had the little Coca-Cola bottle shape than I do now with my 3-liter. And then add the handicap on top of it. I have people right now that sit there and scratch their head, like, for somebody that's handicapped, you kind of like independent. Yeah. I'm only going to ask you one time. And it hurts my ego to even ask. But I've learned that you have to ask, because then you get in trouble having an ego. But if I ask you to do something and you don't do it, by the time you come to me again, it will be done. And I have always been that way. My pastor talks a lot about leadership, and I just get confirmation every Sunday from him, because I've always been a leader. Never a follower. If something didn't feel right, my parents gave me the tools. I'm not worried about trending. I'm not worried about popularity. I'm not worried about being ignored or insignificant, obsolescence. I'm not worried about any of that. I'm not worried about co-hosts. Co-hosts come and gone. I've had celebrities, real celebrities, co-hosts with me, so. You know, I'm not worried about participation. And this show has been on the air for 11 years. Mind blown. Doesn't seem like 11 years, but it has. And I thank God for it. And it's going to grow. And it's going to go in higher places. Just got to get my health together so I can be consistent. There's a lot of things that are going on. You know, I want to give a shout out to every federal worker out there that was affected by the shutdown. I want to send some rave love. You are appreciated. When the president of the United States, that idiot, is not sitting there, you know, because I don't know, he needs a GPS real bad, because we're not Mexico. We're not even little Mexico. We are the United States of America. You know, he says nothing about the drugs that are coming in from Canada to New Hampshire, to Vermont. He won't acknowledge that. But he can pick on Mexico, because he can pick on people's inner racism. I saw a young lady on CNN today. She was talking about reverse racism against the white Europeans that founded this country. How the hell do you find something that people were already living on? You know, that's like me going and discovering your house. Shoot. I need to go discover me a McMansion somewhere with a big tub so that my 6'2" butt can just sink into the tub, where I don't have to sit there and scooch down and put my feet on the wall, you know, or sit up and have my boobs exposed and chilly under the water. And the water may touch it, you know, because the only tubs that I've ever been able to sink in are those old-fashioned clawfoot tubs. I tried to find me a house, an old house with one of them, but I couldn't. You know, where you had to put a towel on the back of the tub so you don't freeze to death when you lay back. But, haunty, you can go all the way down to your neck. And they're kind of slippery getting out of, you know. But I love them. God will bless me with one. But, yeah, that's the thing. I really wanted one of those. But I'm here to tell you. I'm like, how do you, just because you're European and your people murdered innocent people and stole their homes, is that something that you really can be prideful about? And be the first ones out their mouth, well, I have some Cherokee in me. I'm like, Lord, there are so many different nations out there. There's more than Cherokee. But I can tell you why R. Kelly can get where he is, and you can transmute R. Kelly, and you can do all those things, but until you start respecting the young black girls, all of that is just for show. They say that since the documentary, that he has gone to number one on Spotify and the rest of them. And I'm like, yeah. You know, I just sit back and I wonder, because it's not just the R. Kellys. What about the R. Kellys in your family? Because I can tell you what I've heard in my family several times, not necessarily just with my little situation, because my situation was a little different, but I can hear it tell you right now that they'll say, oh, well, so-and-so was a good provider. Don't say nothing. Don't upset the apple cart, because that so-and-so, he got a good job. Meanwhile, he's sitting there screwing your child and screwing your child up. And then when your child becomes a teenager and they go screw their little boyfriends and bring on babies, you're sitting there trying to figure out what happened. Because that's what the good provider showed them. Those are the stories that we as black folks know that's going on. And then we get upset when we start talking about them, because those are things that we're not supposed to talk about. Those are things that are supposed to stay in the family. Those are things that are supposed to not be discussed outside of the family. We don't even acknowledge them. We pretend that they don't exist. You know? We pretend. I know my parents had very good friends. It was a couple. My parents actually knew them before they even got married. And, you know, back in the day, you didn't call grown folks by their name. I'm a grown folk, and I still say Miss and Mister. It's a respect thing. And aunt this and uncle that. And I used to love, I mean, I went to the movies with them. I got my love for horror movies with them. As a matter of fact, I was with them when I saw my very first movie in a movie theater. And that was Clint Eastwood and Jeff Bridges, Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. And it was actually a triple feature. I can never remember the first movie I saw, but it was one of those old Hammer-like. I don't know if it was a Hammer movie where a modern-day couple was brought back to, like, the Salem witch trials, and they were showing the different torture things, and I was like, ugh, what the hell, you know? What is this? They don't show this on Channel 5. But I loved hanging with that couple. And they never molested me. Not once. But the wife was batshit crazy. She liked you as long as you were a child. Once you became a teenager, she had no more use for you. Like, once the little apples start popping up on your T-shirt, she would become verbally abusive. And I decided, because I was raised this way, and my sister was raised this way as well. Shout out to Chef Jerry. I said to my mother I didn't want to go over there anymore. My mom was like, okay. And then we were invited again, and I was like, I don't want to go. Now we got to have these family forums where Mom and Big Daddy sat me down, turned on the hot lights, and wanted to know why I went from always wanting to go to no, I don't want to go. Not interested in going. And first thing my dad wanted to know was I touched inappropriately. No. And then I told my mom, I say, Aunt so-and-so don't like kids. She likes kids. She don't like big girls. So now I didn't open up another 20-minute conversation. And I said, yeah, and this is what she would say, and she would talk to me like this. And my mom was like, no, okay, you don't have to go. She stopped my sister, but then my sister, she was still a kid. So my sister didn't have the same issues that I did. And my mom, when she realized that what I was saying, because at first she thought I was just being, you know, because I was a tween. You know, tweens, they're crazy. They are. I'll be the first one to tell you. But then she noticed that what I was saying was quite accurate. And we didn't have to go. It's like, okay. And I'm sure that mommy daddy moments that they were going to enjoy, you know, it didn't bother me. It didn't matter to me. Because I was told and I was taught, and my parents followed through on it. And I thank God. I thank God. When I look around these days, I realize I used to have an issue with my parents as a teen because I thought that my parents were so overprotective. You'll never let me do nothing. and how much they really presented. And as I grew older, I became more appreciative of my parents. We were never forced to be around anyone we didn't want to be around. There were times that I've actually fought my parents, not physically, but verbally, of course. I want to go. I want to. Well, so and so. Well, you're just so mean. And they would let me go. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And they couldn't understand it. But it wasn't for them to understand. It was my choice, and that's what I wanted to do. And I thank God for that, because they didn't have to be that way. And my experience could have been so much worse. And I could have stories like a lot of my friends have. And the fact that I had parents, that totally tripped a lot of my friends out. Because my dad, I didn't have to go visit him. All I had to do was go up the stairs, and there's my dad. Most likely, 9 times out of 10, sitting there chilling next to my mom, unless he's watching football, basketball, hockey, or some sort of sport. You know, I don't want to sit here and make it seem like my parents walked on water, but, you know, I had good parents. And I used to apologize for it, but I don't apologize for having good parents, and I thank God that I stopped doing it while they both were alive. Because I was made to feel, because I had parents, that something must have been wrong with me. And they're like, you know, I thank God for my parents. And I thank God for the love that I had with my parents. I named my company after my dad, so that should tell you right then and there. Big Daddy Productions. I just feminized the spelling. It's with an I, not a Y. And my father was very proud. So I wanted to honor him while he was alive. And though I didn't get to the status where I wanted to be while he was alive, you know, when he passed away, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to just quit. And I had a long talk with my sister and other people, and I just kept trucking. And I thank God for that. You know, I don't have any outside brothers or sisters, at least that I know of, you know. Never heard no stories. Trust me, if it were true, I'd have heard about it. The black folk love to get bad news. But I thank God, you know, for my parents, because they didn't have to. And I thank God for my parents and all of the sacrifices that they did. I often share over the years, I had an opportunity to be a Noxzema girl, and probably the very first black Noxzema girl, because back in the 80s, you didn't see any black women on TV doing commercials. And my father would not sign the consent forms. Because I was screwing up in school. And I was angry at him. I thought he was the meanest person in the world. But I am so thankful for him. I am so thankful for him today. I didn't think I would ever get to that point to be thankful like that. But I am. Because my life could have turned so all kinds of wrongs. But I thank him. And I thank my mom, because my mom really was the bad guy. She was the bad guy. She was the disciplinarian. But I thank her, because it didn't have to be. My whole life story could have turned a whole different way. And I thank him that it didn't turn out as bad as it could have. And any bad, it had nothing to do with my parents. It had everything to do with me. Everything. To do with me. My molestation, my harassment, my sexual assault, all of these were outside of my parents' home. And a lot of the things that I went through that I discussed at a later date with my parents, they were very hurt because I didn't let them know at that time what I was going through. And only because I knew my dad would have went to jail. Because my father did not play when it came to myself or my sister. He did not play. You weren't going to touch his girls in any kind of way. So I thank him for that. Because I know what it's like to be protected. And when I stop to think out there that there are so many young girls that don't understand what it feels like to be protective by someone that tell you all the time that they love you, I realize how blessed I was. Because this is a very vile and evil world. And we want to sit here and talk about the year of the woman. Women are more catty and mean and will sit back and support a molester than the worst sexual abuser out there. And that's real talk. I would love to see unity amongst women. I would love to see real unity amongst the women. I don't trust it and I don't believe it. Because we're trained and it's ingrained in us to look for the flaws and how we're going to tear someone down than how we're going to build them up. And if you need to see an example of that statement come to life, look at what those young girls who were molested by R. Kelly. Look at some of the scandalous, nasty stuff that has been said about them. And look at how these women, not men, women, will scrounge up and try to dig up any kind of dirt to sit there and say, well, they deserved it, or they must have done something. It was everybody's fault but the molesters. These are women that are doing this. Not men. Not R. Kelly. These are women. We love to be catty. The first thing we do when we see one another, we assess them. And you want to know why you don't trust women around your man. Well, you know your man's no good. And how are you going to be friends with somebody you don't fully trust? And if your friend can manage to get your man, he wasn't your man in the first place. Did I just say that out loud? Yeah, I probably did, knowing me. You'll take back a cheater, then cover a friend and defend a sister. You'll sit there and find so many things wrong and support the housewives and give Andy Cohen buku money to watch women tear one another down than to bring women up. every time they try to bring a show about positivity and sisterhood, you guys don't support it. So how is a young girl, you know, who was playing adult games, and if we're all too truthful, as teenagers, we all think we're grown because, you know, teenagers, that's what teenagers do. They know everything. They're going to be with that guy for the rest of their lives. It's going to be my high school sweetheart. Yeah. Your high school sweetheart and a few other women's sweetheart as well. Well, everyone makes a mistake. Yeah, well, a man is not as forgiven when you cuckold him. You cheat on your man, 9 times out of 10, he's going to dump you. 9 times out of 10. Your man could cheat on you, have a baby on you, and all the whole 9 yards. That's not a reason to get rid of him. I have never been that woman. I have a problem with lying, number one. And I have a big problem with cheating because cheating requires a lot of lying. And every one of those young ladies weren't sluts. A lot of them young ladies were starry-eyed and they had an older man who paid attention to them. Maybe they didn't have a father in the home. So they had someone that sat there. And the one thing that I was kind of thankful about that they did kind of discuss was that this man was sitting there telling them to call him daddy. I wish you would catch me call another grown man daddy. I have one daddy. If you aren't James Pettigrew, you don't get the title daddy. I am not going to have sex with you and call you daddy. That is disgusting, in my opinion. Because when I'm sitting there with my legs up in the air doing the swirl, my daddy is the last thing that comes in my mind. And thinking about my daddy and sex at the same time is not sexy. To me. Now, maybe it is to you, but not to me. My man is a protector, okay, but you're not my daddy. And I'm not going to call you daddy. I'm not going to refer to you as daddy because you are not my daddy. And the fact is that your girls are sitting there dealing with a dude who wants to be called daddy, that should make you think and question a few things. Well, Ray, ain't nobody perfect. Nope, they're not perfect. But your children should never have to suffer for your mistakes. And your children should not be trying to find father figures in their lovers. You should be instilling things into your children to understand that what they're thinking that they need, they don't absolutely need it. They need a mother, and they need a father. And they need people that are going to protect them, not molest them, not have sex with them inappropriately. And Dana Haughton can sit there and make excuses and do all this and tell people that they need to have a life. Well, your daughter had a life. What kind of life did you give her? She did become famous. But at what cost? Because would you prefer to have a famous daughter or your daughter? And that young lady was so beautiful, and I'm not talking about aesthetically. Her spirit was so beautiful. And I remember when I was online back in the day, and I was chatting with my cousin who was in school at that time. And I remember it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And I said, oh, my God, Aaliyah was killed. And I had to type it because you couldn't talk at that time. There was no Instagram and all that stuff back in the day. And he's like, stop playing. I said, I'm not playing. I'm looking at the news right now. And I felt for her family. And that was the second time that I felt for strangers that I did not know. Because no mother should ever have to bury their child. No mother. And I'm quite sure that if she could get her daughter back and give up the fame and all of that, I'm sure she'd take it. If she's a mother. That's all I got to say about that. But you have been listening to Ravy Rave. And I will be back. God spare my life and nothing happens and energy comes to me. Next week I want to talk about church, hypocrites, or faith. Come talk with me. You are listening to It's a Ravy Rave Thing, y'all. Make sure you go on Big Daddy Productions. If you miss the show live, you can always hear it again and again and again. You can also download it on your iTunes. And I am Ravy Rave. And you've been listening to It's a Ravy Rave Thing, y'all. Je ne sais pas où le temps en envoie. Oh, je t'aime, mon chéri.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.